Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer, and those of you who have been crying for retribution for the role of the large banks and what they've done in the financial meltdown of 2008 may have noticed that this has been an interesting week, to say the least. Goldman Sachs, in particular, has been hit from a few different angles. Large protests last week in downtown New York, a damning article in Rolling Stone that lays out the case for criminal charges, and a downgrading of their stock by a prominent analyst as a result. And then yesterday, the New York Times reported that New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is requesting information and documents from three major banks, not just Goldman, but Bank of America and Morgan Stanley, too. The inquiry appears to be quite broad at this point, but in essence, Schneiderman's office is deciding whether it can bring charges against the banks for misleading investors as they bundled risky mortgage securities in the lead-up to the housing collapse. Gretchen Morgenson broke the news in the Times. She's been writing about the housing collapse since before there was a housing collapse. Gretchen, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Jamie. How are you?
Well, I guess we might as well ask the big question first. Many of our listeners have been howling for years about why criminal charges haven't been brought against the banks, perhaps most of all Goldman. Is that Schneiderman's ultimate goal here, arrests?
I think that he is really trying to understand exactly what went on in the belly of the beast, as it were, and that is in the securitization process, the bundling, pooling of, you know, thousands of mortgage loans and then the selling of those packages to investors. I think that we have now come to believe that there was quite a lot of, you know, dubious activity going on in that process, and I think he really wants to find out just exactly what kinds of questionable things did happen and whether or not they are something that he can, you know, bring charges over.
Hmm. Okay. Now, listeners, if you have any questions about the potential charges for Gretchen Morgenson while she's here, give us a call. And in particular, tell us what kind of charges you'd like to see, criminal charges or maybe some sort of big, fat civil suit? Or should we just forgive, forget, and move on? Let us know. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Gretchen, do you have any sense of which aspect of the bank's behavior the investigation may eventually focus on? You've said now he's just trying to sort of get his head around the whole thing, but eventually what direction may it go?
I think it's, again, this process of, you know, cobbling together these securities that they sold mm-hmm. to investors, because it really did kind of fuel the bad lending, you know, the need to have loans to go into these pools really did kind of, you know, exacerbate and make far worse the crisis and the losses that resulted from it. So I think that's where he's really going to focus on the securitization angle. The Wall Street firms, did they know, for instance, that some of the loans or many of the loans that they were putting into these pools were in fact not performing, were in fact about to default or to go into delinquency, you know, when they put them in the securities? And then did they not tell investors? We know that investors bought these thinking that they were going to perform, and then very, very soon thereafter, they started failing in droves. So I think that's a crucial question to any investigation.
Well, okay, help me to understand which relationship we're really talking about, because there are two relationships that could be looked into. There's the relationship between the banks and the individual borrowers, but there's also the relationship between the banks and the insurers. The insurers claim they were misled about how stable the deals were, right? Is there any sense of which relationship might get more scrutiny?
Well, I think then the third relationship is the banks and the investors who bought the securities.
Right.
So I don't think it's really about the borrowers. I think that this is a focus now on the back end of the process.
Okay.
So, you know, were these loans toxic and, you know, destined to fail before they were put into the securities? And were investors misled about that? That's a crucial question. And if they were destined to fail, were the bond insurers that insured these packages also misled? So I think those are the, that's sort of the back end of the process that I think is going to be the focus here. And I think it's rightfully so. Don't forget also that the Wall Street firms funded all of these lenders. You know, lenders like New Century or Fremont did not have the money to make these loans themselves. What they required from Wall Street was what's called warehouse lines of credit to keep making the loans over and over again. So Wall Street was a big enabler of this process.
Now, what about this Martin Act of 1921 that I've read may be the key to any case brought here in New York, you know, going back to the turn of the last century? Could it possibly be what the case hinges on?
Well, it is an extremely interesting question, and it, the Martin Act is something that gives the New York Attorney General immense leeway, far more than any other AG has, to bring criminal charges. Typically, if you want to bring a criminal case, to win it, you have to prove intent to defraud, intent to deceive or mislead. And that's very difficult to prove. You know, you have to have that smoking gun email that says, you know, I intend to defraud. But so what the Martin Act allows is you do not have to show intent to defraud to enable to win a case. So that is a huge leg up for the Attorney General of New York.
So you just need some omission of information or general misrepresentation?
Well, it certainly looks that way. I mean, if you don't have to prove intent, that's a big a hurdle that's taken away.
Let's take a call. Sean in Toms River, New Jersey, you are on with Gretchen Morgenson.
Hello,
Tom. Please go ahead. Sean.
Sean.
I'm sorry. Sean, you were in Toms River, New Jersey. Go right ahead.
Yeah. You know what I really angers me about this whole thing is I'm watching these banks lobbying to make sure that not only do they get no new regulations, but they lose some of the old regulations and that they're out on the TVs all the time trying to convince whoever will listen to them that the problem with the credit default swaps derivatives market and what they did was not their fault. It was all these poor people that should never have had homes in the first place. It was their fault that they owned these homes and they caused this whole collapse. I mean, that in itself is the most criminal thing I heard of. I know it's not exactly what you're talking about, but I wish you could speak to this about how hard they're lobbying both, you know, politically and out on the news all the time, trying to blame the wrong people for this and wash their hands of it.
All right, Sean, thank you very much for your call. And Gretchen, there are three banks specifically involved here, as per your article, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley. As far as we know, were they involved in these practices in different ways? Are there three, I guess we would call them cases being worked on here, or one case against three banks potentially? Explain a little more.
I think that they're looking at the processes at all of the major banks. These are three that were very large in the securitization of mortgages. But I think that the process that was going on, that it was questionable and that allowed sort of toxic mortgages to be poured into these things, were really across Wall Street. It was not something that only one or two banks was doing. So I think that you're going to find the probe will probably expand to all of the firms that were large in the area of securitizing mortgage loans and selling them to investors. You know, as far as Sean's comment, I mean, I think I hear this from many, many people. I think others are extremely dismayed by the fact that after, you know, really contributing to a crisis that has hurt so many on Main Street. It's very troubling to see the banks really not accepting any responsibility for the disaster, and in fact going down to Washington and really, as he said, lobby strenuously against any kind of legislation that would rein them in. So not only are they not taking responsibility or being held accountable, they're actually trying to manipulate the system.
What about civil suits filed around the country? There have been some of those, have there not, by individual investors and others who say they were victimized by the bundling practices. Do you think those will stick?
Well, they have been actually producing some very interesting information and material that I think that Mr. Schneiderman's office will also be looking at. That's one element of this, that if the prosecutors have been holding back on bringing charges, that some of these lawsuits and the discovery and the material that are coming out in them can be very, very helpful in making a case.
Let's take another call. Mitch is in Manhattan. Mitch, you are on WNYC with Gretchen Morgenson of the New York Times.
Gretchen Morgenson, first of all, I want to say you and Elizabeth Warren should be running this country. We'd be in a lot better shape.
I don't know if that's a responsibility that either of them would want. But...
Exactly.
But they could do a hell of a better job than what the men have been doing.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you your comment with regard to the collaboration, and that is with a collaboration of Moody's and the rating companies in this crime. I term it as a crime of the banks and Goldman Sachs and the whole bunch of banksters and gangsters down there on Wall Street.
Well, of course, the rating agencies were central to the process of putting these securities together and pooling the loans into the securities and selling them. Investors would never have purchased these securities if the ratings agencies had not given them their imprimatur. So they were central to this disaster. There is no doubt about it. They were really not keeping up with what were in the securities. Now, that has not been held up to this point as being a criminal activity. You know, we can call it perhaps incompetence, and I think that even the ratings agencies themselves would agree that they were not operating up to par and were asleep at the switch on what some of the bank's practices were. But, as far as holding them as part of any kind of a crime, as you say it, that certainly has not been the case.
Well, Gretchen, there has been some statements from Moody's and some former employees of Moody's saying that they refused to go along with the company, and that's why they resigned. And others said that they had to go along, otherwise they would lose the business of rating for these companies because they would go to other rating companies.
Yes,
I mean, they actually admitted.
Yes, and
Mitch,
it was extremely lucrative, very, very lucrative business as well. So he's absolutely right about that.
And Gretchen, I want to ask you also about the protests last week. And I want to thank all of our callers about the call. And I want to also say, Gretchen, we have many, many calls, as you can imagine, on this subject. It always generates a tremendous response.
Well, good for you.
Well, good for you.
Keeping it out there is really super important.
Yeah. Our listeners are very, very engaged on this topic. And of course, those protests last week on Friday on this show, Brian had a conversation about the level of anger among the public over the bank behavior. What's your take? Is there a boiling point on the horizon? Briefly.
Boy, you tell me. I don't know, Jamie. I have been super surprised that it hasn't boiled over by now. I mean, we have very high unemployment. The foreclosures are just immense. People have been harmed and hurt. Families destroyed because of this. I mean, the fact that we don't have people rioting over it, I think, is just simply amazing.
Yeah. Well, we should mention, Gretchen, that the conversation continues. You're going to be back on WNYC next Wednesday with Leonard Lopate about your new book, Reckless Endangerment, How Outsized Ambition, Greed, and Corruption Led to Economic Armageddon. Be sure to tune in for that. Gretchen Morgenson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, a look back at Freedom Summer.